My escape had come to an end.
13. Harley. Don't say a word, I whispered in Marlowe's ear. Her tense body relaxed some at the sound of my voice. I'm going to take my hand from your mouth now, I said in a calm and even voice, knowing how close to the edge of insanity she teetered on. Spinning her around, I took her into my arms in an embrace. It's going to be okay. I'm here now. Oh, God, she mumbled, her face pressed securely near my heart as she gripped the fabric of my shirt in her tiny fists. Pulling away enough to look up at me with absolute horror in her brown eyes, she whispered, There are two men, Lucas and Sadist. I nodded. It's over. You won't see them again. The look of relief washed over her delicate features, and an odd sensation attacked my core. The way her eyes shone under the fluorescent lights, the way her breath hitched, and how her entire body softened in my arms gave me a sense of satisfaction I had never felt before. Tears ran down her face, and I couldn't help but use my thumb to wipe them away. "It's over?" she asked softly as her body trembled against mine. I nodded, tightening my grip around her. "You came. You saved me." She continued to cry, her soft sobs shaking, her small frame still locked in my arms. "Those gunshots were yours. You saved me. You cared." Had I saved her? No, I didn't save people. It wasn't who I was. I caused pain just as I'd caused this pain. "I'm sorry," I said, and I was. I was so very sorry. This, too, was a new sensation for me. Regret, remorse, guilt, repentance were not words that I lived by or felt ever. You couldn't in my line of work and survive. But with Marlowe, and that very minute I held her shaking, terrified body close to me, those were all the words I felt. I was so sorry. All I wanted to do was take her pain and fright away, to go back in time and make sure that I never allowed for this to all happen. She didn't deserve this. No one did. My demons and fucked up past should not have done this to her. Normally, I loved the smell of fear, but not today. Not with her. Today, I loved the smell of protection more. I had never seen the look of relief in someone's eyes before, the look of complete and total trust. And peering down into Marlowe's tear-filled eyes, I could see she trusted me. I didn't deserve that trust, yet she did.
I was so scared. They said they kidnapped me because of revenge, because you killed Lucas's brother. They thought by kidnapping me and killing...
Her eyes went wide.
Oh, God, Harley... Do you know about Layla?
I placed my finger on her trembling bottom lip. I know about it all. Removing my jacket, I wrapped it around her, covering her naked body with the heavy black fabric. I fastened it in front of her and then pulled out her long black hair, allowing it to cascade over her shoulders. Even now, in her absolute most broken state, the woman captured my heart with her beauty. How is this possible? How could this be?
It was awful. Two men in masks killed her and then took me. I didn't hear anything. She was already lying in a pool of blood when I came into the room. There was nothing I could do. I'm so sorry.
She said softly as sobs shook her shoulders up and down. Never say those words. It's me who is sorry.
But she was your friend. I can only imagine how terrible it must have been to find her like that.
No more talk. Let's get you out of here and back to my place. I scooped her up and cradled her in my arms. There was no way I was going to allow her to take one more step barefoot.
Will they find us there? Are we safe?
She asked as she wrapped her arms around my neck. I told you, it's over. You are safe. I swear this to you.
But what if they have more people helping them? What if the men who took me come back and try again? Maybe we should go someplace else. What about the police? What about Layla? She was murdered, Harley. We can't just not call the police.
I shook my head. No, it's taken care of. I ended it all and it's over. You're safe, Marlowe. I reassured as I looked down into her eyes. I was taking long strides to get the hell out of this shithole. Once we get to my place, I'll never leave your side. I will do whatever I have to do to make sure you never feel that afraid again. I promise you that I will never ever see that look of fear in your eyes again. I'll earn your forgiveness by protecting you for the rest of my life if that's what you want. But I swear to you that I will never allow you to feel afraid again.
I don't blame you, Harley. I know you think I do, but I don't. I know the type of life you lived. Or live. I know you did what Lucas said you did to his brother, and you have done that to many others, but I don't blame you for what your enemies did to me. I know you didn't know this would happen. I know you didn't for one minute think I was in danger, or you wouldn't have left.
She rested her head against my shoulder and sighed deeply.
Thank you. Thank you for coming to get me. I am not your woman, so it means a lot to me that you came to get me back.
You should have never been here to begin with. I'm so sorry. Her arms tightened around my neck.
I just want it to all be over.
It is.
I trust you.
Fuck. She should never trust a man like me. I continued to march in a half daze, not being able to process how someone could be so forgiving and compassionate, even as they stared fear straight in the eye. She should be screaming at me, demanding answers, hating me for what I had just put her through, and the dangerous position my actions had put her in. She should be livid, and so fucking afraid of me and the life I live that she demanded to be taken to safety, which is as far away from me as one could get. But not Marlowe.
Please take me home. Your home, she said softly. Tell me this was all a bad dream and I'm safe.
Yes, it was a bad dream. I was the fucking bad dream. I just wasn't sure how I was going to wake her up from it. 14. Harley. I've lived my life in a cell, the metal bars being the ghosts of all I killed. I'd accepted many years ago that my sins would forever cast me in a place much worse than hell. Even hell was too good for the man I became with each pull of the trigger or stab of the knife. But nothing, nothing attacked my being like seeing the shattered woman before me. It was because of my sickness that she cried. It was because of the sadistic devil who sat on my shoulder making me do all that I did that had her shaking in my arms. I was the one who killed. I was the one so full of hate and rage. I was the one who deserved to suffer the agony of terror, not her. Not her. I couldn't fix the sins of my past. I couldn't be the man who did no wrong. I fucking did wrong. I always did wrong, but not with Marlowe. I had to fix her. I had to pick up every single broken piece that was caused by me and make an attempt to put her back together again. It would be my personal mission to protect her, comfort her, and make damn sure that she never felt what she had today. Never again. Never fucking again. As I carried Marlowe across the threshold of my house, the full moon illuminated the swampy landscape through the large living room window. A single lamp was on, casting shadows throughout the room. Shadows deep and plentiful like the ones that covered my heart. But as I glanced down at Marlowe, who'd released a sigh of relief the minute we'd entered the warm house, I realized that this woman had somehow learned how to navigate the maze through the cracks of light I had left on in my beating heart. It had been 24 hours since we'd sat in this room, playfully bantering about who was or was not afraid of the dark. It was the pre-sex talk, the talk that meant nothing more than to set the stage for a night of incredible fucking. That was all it was supposed to be. I would have never signed on for anything else had I known. Had I known. known that Marlowe Masters would capture my heart, that my foolish ways and fucked-up world would hand over something I never wanted to give to anyone. Pulling her into my world, into who I was. I never wanted her to leave my nightmare. I wanted her to hold my hand and guide me through it like a lighthouse would guide a ghost ship through a storm. Just as I was about to place her down on the tile floor, she tensed and fresh tears escaped her eyes.
Oh, poor Layla.
Her eyes were cast down to the spot where Layla had lain in a pool of blood. Nothing remained there but the awful memory. She looked at me and ran her fingertips along my jawline.
I'm so sorry, Harley.
Her compassion, her kind heart, even while her own situation had been fucked, she still cared about Layla and about me. She cared about me. I didn't deserve the good, not when I was the fucking evil. Let's get you in the bath, I said as I walked toward the master bathroom. I had to get her away from the visions of death I knew she had. I had to protect her, even though it was because of me that those visions existed. She nodded and laid her head against my shoulder. So tender, so soft. The only way I would survive this night from my own madness was by focusing on Marlowe. I couldn't think, I couldn't feel, I couldn't allow any other thoughts to exist except the protection of this woman. I was helpless to change my past, but I could control this very minute. And right now, it was about stealing the negative thoughts from her mind, not adding to them. One goal only, to make sure that she never was afraid of the dark again. Placing her on the edge of the tub, I turned on the water. I'm sorry that I don't have any bubble bath or salts. She smiled and released a giggle.
I wouldn't expect you to. In fact, I think it would have concerned me.
I could have stared at that smile on her face forever. It was a much better sight than the one of misery and torment that I had seen before. Testing the water to make sure it was perfect, I said. I'll be waiting in the living room for you. Take your time. I reached under the sink for a fresh towel, perfectly folded, and placed it next to her feet. She reached for my hand and squeezed hard.
Please stay. I don't want to be left alone.
I'll be right outside.
Please?
She interrupted with another squeeze of her hand. I nodded as I reached for the buttons on the jacket and helped her with undoing them. Lowering the jacket off her shoulders and shedding her of the covering, I helped her into the large bath as the steam of the hot water circled around her soft skin. She didn't appear embarrassed or shy about being naked in front of me, though I suppose that there really was no reason to be. I had already worshipped every inch of her mesmerizing body and wished I would someday have that opportunity again. But I didn't deserve her. Being with me would only hurt her like what had happened today. It was because of me that she was broken, and I didn't ever want to do it again. Easing her body against the back of the tub, she closed her eyes and said,
"This feels nice."
Her look of contentment gave me that same feeling as seeing the smile on her face when she first giggled.
"Harley," she said softly as her eyes remained closed, "do you have a lot of guns? Like a gun room or something?"
"No, I have a gun or two in the house, but that's it. Why? Just because I don't doesn't mean you aren't safe."
"So if those men come back, you'll shoot them?"
"If anyone tried to hurt you or take you away from me, then yes, I would definitely shoot them. I have guns, just not a gun room."
"I just pictured this house differently when I watched you at Spiked Roses. I thought you would live in some ultra-modern loft and have a secret room with guns and bombs and stuff, like those action movies you see."
"I'm nothing like those movies."
"But you are an assassin. Don't all assassins have hundreds of guns? What about knives? A knife collection?"
"No, not me. I actually couldn't give a fuck less about guns and knives. I don't know how to make bombs or booby traps and shit like that. I just get a gun. They serve as a reminder, and I don't fucking need any more reminding. My life is a constant reminder."
Opening her eyes, she stared at me, and slowly sorrow engulfed any sign of pleasure she'd had for that split second. What happened with Layla's body? Did you have to call the police? Will there be a funeral?
Fresh tears fell from her eyes again.
I'll help you with all that. You shouldn't have to do it alone. I know you are used to death and killing, but she was someone special to you. No matter how desensitized you are to death, I'm sure you are devastated. I'm here. I want you to know I'm here to help you. Just tell me what you need me to do.
I shook my head. Please, Marlo. Not now. I can't. Not now. I wasn't ready to face this nightmare head on. I needed tonight. One night to just focus on this incredible woman who fascinated me in more ways than I thought possible before I dove headfirst into the darkness I was so familiar with. Tomorrow. All I ask is that we wait until tomorrow to go down that path. She swallowed and wiped away her tears.
I understand,
she said with a nod.
Yes, let's just have tonight.
That's all I ask. I don't deserve to ask a thing, but I beg you.
Of course,
she said as she leaned up and took hold of my hand. The warm water from her palm sent a chill down my spine. Or maybe it was the way she looked at me that caused it, because there was so much sympathy and understanding present.
Just know that I won't leave you to deal with this all by yourself. I won't leave you.
I wish that were true.
It is. You didn't leave me, so I won't leave you.
You'll have to leave me for self-preservation, I mumbled. I only hurt the ones who believe that I can be anything else but the beast I've become.
I don't believe that, she said, still holding on to me. I think you want to believe that, but it isn't true. You want to be bad because then you have an excuse to focus on all the feelings of darkness rather than the good. The good is scarier, because you are always at risk of losing it. The feeling of loss is far worse than living in a constant state of a black void. You might have done bad things in your life, but I can see and I can feel that you are not a bad man. You just pretend to be. I've seen bad men, Harley, and you are not one of them.
Like your dad? I asked, reaching for a washcloth that sat folded on the corner of the tub. I motioned for Marlo to turn around so I could wash her back, which she did without saying a word. Was your dad a bad man?
You saw me on the video? Heard what I said?
I saw you, I answered honestly, trying to erase the picture of her tiny, naked, and frightened self screaming into the camera.
I don't like to talk about him.
Why? I ran the wet cloth along the edges of her tattoo, wondering if I would ever truly have the pleasure of knowing the depths of this woman. Maybe it would help me figure out what exactly it was about her that had me feeling like I couldn't go another minute without her by my side. That tattoo was because of him. I paused the cloth and studied the tree that curled around the enticing curves of her body again. How so?
There was an old oak tree in our backyard growing up. It was huge and had been there long before us. It truly was part of the house. You could see it from the window as you washed the dishes. I couldn't imagine the yard without it. But every single day since my earliest memory, my father would wake up from a drunken night and stumble his way out to the tree and puke right at its base. And then when he was done with that, he would pull out his dick and piss on it. Others in the MC would do it too if they crashed at the house or if there was a party at our place, which was often. Some even joked that it was the puke and piss tree, but to my mother and me it wasn't. It was the tree with its big, bold leaves that we stared at every single day as we worked in the kitchen. It was our beauty. It was our piece of the world that was simple. It was just a tree and possessed nothing bad and wasn't filled with lies and betrayal like everything else in our lives. But that tree began to die. Each season the leaves became fewer and fewer, dead branches scattered throughout the thin foliage that would come crashing to the ground with the slightest windstorm. My mother and sisters loved that tree. I loved that tree. My father destroyed that tree, just as he was slowly destroying us with his life of running an MC and feeling as if he were God. Rules did not apply to him in his fucked up world. Love Compassion, family values, and kindness were not present in his land of booze, whores, killing, and the thirst for power. Every year, the tree got worse. Every year, so did my mother, my sisters, and I. We lived in a Mexican gang hell, a prison, and those assholes on bikes were our gatekeepers. I couldn't date anyone and not fear they would be killed. I couldn't go anywhere without the fear that I would be murdered in retaliation from some other MC for whatever vile thing my father had done to them. My life was so far from normal, and I had no one. My family was in a constant state of survival mode, which forced us to live with an every-man-for-himself mentality. It was a hollow and lonely existence growing up. Superficial love. That was all I received, and all I knew how to give. I cut myself daily, with whatever cheap razor blade I could find to numb the pain, and I feared I would eventually become like my mother, who watched her soaps and spoke to her parrot with no life left in her eyes. I cut my inner thighs to keep this twisted need of mine hidden. It was my dark secret. But my entire life was becoming one big fucking dark secret. On my 17th birthday, I packed a bag and waited 1 month until I graduated high school early. I kept that bag packed every day while I waited. And the day I left that house, I looked at the dying tree and promised myself I would never allow someone to destroy me.
"And you came to New Orleans?" I asked as I continued to rub on the tattoo that I now knew the story behind.
"To play music. It was all I had. No other skills other than that, and definitely no money. But at least I had myself."
Marlo turned so she could face me.
"And I never cut myself again once I left. There was no more pain to silence."
"Until today," I said.
"I don't need to silence my pain. I have you."
She pulled up on her knees so her face was inches from mine. I shook my head. "I cause pain. I never take it away." She placed her finger on my lips as I had done to her before and smiled.
"Shh. Not tonight. Remember? You said we have tonight to just be. Nothing but us. And I have other ideas on how my pain can be silenced. I know exactly how you can take it all away."
Leaning in, she placed her wet palms on the back of my neck and pulled me into her, kissing me on the lips. The subtle touch lit me on fire. I was the cold heart caught in her flame.
"Us,"
she repeated as she pressed her tongue past my lips and danced it along with mine. The kiss paralyzed me. I didn't know how to resist. There was no weapon I could use to fight back against the surge of emotion exploding from within. So soft, so good, so light. She was in control, yet used no force. "I don't kiss," I said against a tantalizing and foreign act. "Not like this."
"I do."
She deepened the kiss and raised further out of the tub, the sound of splashing water against her flesh driving me insane. I had to have her. But after today, I didn't deserve her. This kiss was just an agonizing tease of what couldn't be more, or what shouldn't be. "Remember what I said about teasing," I warned, breaking the kiss, knowing I had to or be undone by this woman forever. She kissed me again, not heeding my warning in the slightest.
"And remember that I don't tease,"
she said as she nipped my lower lip and crawled onto my lap, straddling me with her dripping wet body. Latching her arms behind my neck, followed by her ankles hooking behind my back, she gave a wicked smile and said,
"Take me. Take me so all the pain goes away. I choose you over the blade."
Maybe if I was a better man, I would have resisted and told her I was no good, that a blade and slices along her beautiful skin would be far better than what I had to offer her. She truly knew. If she truly knew the monster I was, she would never be able to look me in the eye in fear of being sucked into my sick world that I'd created for myself. There was no one to blame but myself. So if I were a better man, I would have saved her from me. be the protector I so wanted to be for her. But I was not a better man, far from it. Standing up as she still clung to my body, I gripped the cheeks of her slick ass and carried her to the bedroom. There would be no stopping this from happening. I couldn't resist. She needed love, affection, cuddles, and sweet promises of security always. She did not need my kind of toxic, buried balls deep inside of her. Yet, not only was I a bad man, I was a weak man. Placing her gently onto the bed, I removed my clothing as fast as I could. It was impossible to stop staring at the way the droplets of water glistened off her skin in the rays of the moonlight beaming in through the window. She was like some mythical creature here to seduce me for one night only. One night before death and the end of all good, waiting patiently for the sunlight's arrival. "I've truly never seen such a beautiful woman as you," I admitted, not feeling like I needed to hold back the truth. At least I could give her one truth, even though other truths remained locked inside me, the truth she deserved to know, the truth I wasn't able to give. Not yet. Maybe not ever. But fuck if Marla didn't deserve to know it. Now. Now, goddammit. But I was a fucking coward. The big, bad Harley Crow was nothing but a damn coward, and if I did tell her the truth about the type of man I truly was, if I did, she wouldn't ever look at me again like she did that very moment. Her eyes, her lips begging to be devoured, her body tempting every last bit of control I had left in my body. She smiled and pressed up on her elbows, watching me as I took off the remaining piece of my clothing. "And I've never seen a man as sexy as you, Harley Crow." She motioned with her finger for me to join her. "Get over here and fuck me." Yes, this woman was in control tonight. All power, all consuming, and definitely in command over every aspect of my life. Normally I would be the master. I would make her beg and plead for the pleasure to come. I never handed over the reins and would punish her for even thinking she could touch them. But not tonight. Tonight the power rested in her hands. I would do nothing but make her cry out my name in pleasure. Nothing more than pleasure. She deserved so much more, but that was all I could give. If she only knew that she marched toward the gallows as she beckoned me, I would be her death. Ultimately. The fact was delivered today in a way that was unforgivable. The noose would strangle the life right out of her, and the only one to blame would be me. But as I crawled on top of her, hungry to feel my cock buried deep within her pussy, I knew I only tightened the rope more. There would be no push and pull tonight, no battle of dominance and submission. I had no desire to balance on the serrated knife I normally thrived on. I wanted only her warmth. I wanted only her desire gripping my dick as I thrust her into oblivion. Nothing more but giving her pleasure. No pain. No more pain. She'd shed her last tear today. Fighting back the demons and ignoring the inferno of sin, I spread her legs and slid my cock inside of her. She arched her back and clung to me as a gasp of pleasure escaped her lips. No fear. No terror, no pain, just pleasure. In and out I moved, kissing a trail of kisses along her neck and collarbone. Such tenderness that I couldn't ever remember giving another person before. I was an assassin, a brutal killer. But with Marlo, I would change. I would assassinate the man I was before. I would kill everything inside of me to make sure I would never see the pain and fear in her eyes again. Who was afraid of the dark? Me. I was fucking afraid of the dark. I was afraid of the man I had become, but even more afraid of the man Marlo made me want to be. Over and over I fucked her. No. I loved her. I didn't bite, but nibbled. I didn't growl, but moaned as the walls of her wet and warm core tightened around me. I didn't demand, but gave. Looking into her eyes, I saw pure, innocent delight as I buried myself deeper with every push. Eyes so full of life and passion, so bright and alive, so different than the eyes I had seen when she feared for her life. The eyes I stared into that very moment were the eyes I wanted to see forever. "I will never allow you to be afraid again," I whispered as I continued to rock my hips against hers. She reached up and pulled my head down, forcing our lips to connect with another kiss. As our tongues intertwined, she moaned and gasped while her pussy clenched around me in completion. Unfamiliar intimacy from her delicate kiss and feminine sounds of desire became my undoing. With one final drive into her depths, I released every ounce of humanity inside of me that I hadn't even known existed. She had pulled the light from me and destroyed the dark at that very moment. Marlo Masters was a lethal assassin, a ruthless killer.
15. Marlo. Normal. The perfect word to describe that very moment. Harley and I laid in bed, tangled in each other's arms after sex like any normal couple would do. There was nothing dirty or taboo about the sex. There was nothing that pushed the limits. Just us connecting. As we laid there in his bed, watching the moon shine through his window, I felt normal. Rubbing my finger along his chest in tiny circles as I cuddled into the crux of his arm, I asked, "How are you able to find me?" He remained silent for several moments. Maybe there were secrets or contacts he didn't want to tell me. "I guess it doesn't matter," I said, not wanting to relive the nightmare again anyway. "All that matters is that you did." We laid there for a little bit longer as I traced patterns along all the tattoos on his arms, chest, and stomach. There were so many, and they were all different. There was no theme, yet they all did seem to flow together perfectly. Skulls were all over his arms that matched the one with the red eyes on his neck. Crows flew across his heart. Daggers stabbed at his ribcage. Demons emerged from his lower abs. So many tattoos and so many tales. "I told you about my tattoo," I said. Hell, I had told him more about me than I had ever told anyone. "It's your turn. What do some of yours mean? Like the crows, you have so many flying across your chest." His voice was low and even as he spoke. "Each crow represents someone I killed that was difficult. That hurt me to do so."
"Like people you knew?"
"Yes. People I knew but still had to die. I didn't want to kill them, but felt I had no choice."
"What made you kill that first person? That made you become the killer you are today?" I asked, not sure if I would get an answer.
"I don't have an answer for that question, to be honest."
Harley ran his hand along my outer arm and pulled me a little closer to his warmth.
"Is there really a right answer for that? I could say it was because of the money, which is what killing ultimately became about. But what got me started? I'm not sure. And what keeps me going? I wonder that myself."
"Who was your first kill?"
"A drug dealer who messed with a dirty cop. It was my first paid job. I didn't get a job as a paper boy or at a fast food joint like other kids in my neighborhood. My first job was as a hired killer."
"The dirty cop had you kill him?"
"Yes. The dirty cop was someone I owed. I was just a kid lashing out who had gotten into some trouble. That cop got me off the hook. But then it pretty much meant I became his bitch with all the rest of his bitches who helped him run his part of the streets. At the time, I didn't mind. I liked being part of a family, no matter how fucked up that family was.
I had no one else to count on. I bounced around from foster home to foster home, all while knowing my drunk of a father didn't give a fuck. So that shithead of a cop made me at least feel needed, which was a hell of a lot more than my old man did.
So you killed for him? Harley nodded, still stroking me tenderly.
Whenever he asked, which was often. He was a callous man who taught me how to be one as well. But the money was good, and the praise even better.
Was it hard?
At first, but it got easier with each pull of the trigger or stab of the knife. It got to a point where I didn't even think about it. I was more focused on becoming tougher and more skilled than anyone else. My goal was to be the best. The best at something, since I was pretty much a failure at everything else.
And you never felt guilty?
If you walk among the beasts of the underground, then you've done something to be knocking on death's door. So I saw it as I was simply killing a beast, not a human being. Deserving, though I never really used that word.
He shrugged.
It's hard to describe why I killed.
Do you feel you deserve to die? I asked.
More than most, was his simple answer.
That's a sad belief, I mumbled, still feeling the need to be close to this man who all but admitted to being a killing machine with no remorse. Do you still work for the dirty cop?
No, that ended a long time ago. I don't work for anyone but myself.
Why? What happened?
He became one of the crows on my chest.
I glanced down at the black ink and felt nothing but sorrow for Harley's past. What a lonely and dismal path he'd walked from such an early age. I needed to ask a hard question, but one that was important for me to know. Do you need to be on drugs or drunk to do all these things? Drug use and alcoholism was a hard limit for me. I couldn't tolerate it in my life. It was the life I'd run from, and I didn't even want to consider entering into it again. In saying that, the fact that Harley was an assassin didn't come into play, but this did. And why was I even asking? It wasn't like Harley and I were having the relationship talk. I was just a girl he contracted with as part of a tasting. But I still needed to know. My heart was crossing over that line, that hard, solid and bold line that I never crossed, but I was with him. And before I allowed that to happen, I needed to know of what other demons this man had.
Never. I will have to hand it to that cop. He wouldn't allow shit like that from any of his men. He found you drunk or high, and it meant a bullet right between the eyes. He taught me the art of perfection. You had to be sharp and aware at all times to achieve it, so booze and drugs were never allowed. I like a good vodka, but never in excess. I have too many damn enemies who could turn the corner at any second to risk being anything but sharp and aware at all times.
His hand stopped caressing my arm and moved to my hair. Slowly, he combed his fingers through the strands, cupping the back of my head every so often as he did so.
What about you? Do you use?
Never, I said, with maybe a little too much emphasis.
The dying tree, he said softly.
I nodded. Yes, the dying tree.
That's rare. In the world I live in, habits seem to be present in everyone.
Oh, I have habits, I admitted. To be honest, you have been one of them. I couldn't believe I was about to tell him this, but I felt like I could be free with my feelings with him after all we had just been through. I had met many people who didn't judge. In fact, most people at Spiked Roses fell into the non-judging category. But with Harley, it seemed even more so. Like there wasn't a thing I couldn't tell him.
I've been one of them. I don't know if you could call it a crush or just damn near stalking, but I literally could not stop watching you every night you were at the club. The only reason I really went to that tasting was because I heard you would finally be at it. You never went, and, well, I thought that maybe this could be my chance to have you notice me. His body tensed and his hand stopped the caress. Why? Why me? I giggled and slapped his chest lightly. Relax, I wasn't looking for my baby daddy or anything. You simply fascinated me. Slowly picking up with his caressing and relaxing again, he said, Well, I'm glad you did. When I went to the tasting, I had no intention of actually contracting out with anyone. I don't believe in mixing work with personal life. But then I saw you. Saw me? My heart flipped at the idea that he'd wanted me as I'd wanted him. Fucking stunning was the first thought that came to mind, he admitted. Long black hair, black dress, you were a gothic masterpiece I just had to meet. I laughed hard. I knew it. I knew you liked black. I begged Tennessee to allow me to wear black. He thought I would look like Elvira or something. Harley joined in with my laughter. I happened to find Elvira hot. Last time I listened to Tennessee. He stopped laughing, ran his hand down my back, and settled over the curve of my ass. I find you so much hotter, however. You just like your women dark. I do. You rarely find women who are willing to play along the forbidden edge like you. He slapped my ass hard, which had me gasping. Why were you so willing? Was it just about the tasting? Keeping with the theme? I like the way the taboo makes me feel. Pushing the boundaries beyond just ordinary sex. Pain electrifies me, I confessed. There's more animalistic desire present, and it completely turns me on. I love the feel of submission. It's a sense of letting go of everything. Allowing myself to fall and knowing without a doubt that the dominant man I am giving myself to will catch me. Total abandon. And that is the feeling I crave. I'm not a missionary position vanilla girl. I'm not a missionary vanilla man either. No, I giggled. I have never mistaken you for being one. He smacked my butt again and ran his finger down the seam of my ass. Tingles ran from my head to my toes. I would have jumped his bones again right then and there, but he went back to the calming caressing of my hair and said, Had I known how special you would be, I would have... He sighed heavily. I had no idea you would be more than just a fucking hot chick who I pictured myself balls deep in. You really surprised me. You surprised me, too. I didn't expect you to be as nice as you are, as nurturing and caring. I guess I just expected you to be hard and cold the entire time. I didn't think I would see this side of you. What side is that? The going to get beignets for breakfast side of you. I guess I thought you would just be an incredibly sexy-as-fuck asshole, but still an asshole. I am an asshole. Maybe, but so much more is in you. Whether you want to admit it or not, Harley Crow, you are a good guy. He sighed and seemed to stiffen ever so slightly. I could tell he didn't like the compliment and decided not to push it any further. Yawning with heavy eyes, I asked, Tell me about another tattoo. Harley positioned himself onto his side and looked down at me, now lying flat on my back. Kissing me softly on the lips, he said, Another time. I have more tattoos than I can count and more stories than we have time for. You've had a long day and need your sleep. He kisses me again on the lips and then the forehead. Don't leave me, I said as sleep was setting in. Sleep with me, please. Harley pulled up the blanket and tucked it under my chin as he brushed some loose hairs of mine from my face. I'll be here all night. You're safe, Marlo. Again, I'm so sorry for what happened. I've never been so sorry before in my life. He may have said more, but a thick layer of exhaustion set in, and all I could do was nod before drifting off to sleep. 16. Marlo. I'd never gotten tucked in at night and kissed on the forehead as a little girl. I didn't get hugs and kisses. Comfort didn't come often. It wasn't that my parents didn't love me, but they weren't that way. We didn't speak the words of love, nor did we show it. Stoic, maybe. Regardless, I never got it. So the sense of security and safety was always up to me. I had to feel it by my own means. Deep down, the emotions were mine to control. I didn't have the aid of anyone else to help in delivering those feelings. But then came Harley Crow. He hugged, he kissed, he tucked me in after our lovemaking. He comforted, he protected. He made me feel safe and secure when deep down I was feeling anything but. And we had made love. I knew it. I felt it. I could see it in the way he looked down at me. He'd touched me like a man giving love rather than satisfying sexual hunger. He'd given me exactly what I needed after the hellish ordeal of the kidnapping. I was safe. I was secure. Harley Crow made damn sure of it. I didn't know how long I would stay living with him, but it felt right. I couldn't picture leaving his house tucked away in the bayou ever again, and he didn't make me feel as if I had to. Our contract was up. Our Sunday was spent in bed, sipping coffee by the pool, and we even went for a long boat ride down the channels of the swamp. It was casual, simple, easy. The day went fast and slipped through our fingers, yet I didn't panic because it was all over. Usually when a contract was over, there was either a sense of relief or a sense of pity that it ended too soon because maybe there was still more to explore. A love story didn't happen from a tasting. It just wasn't the way. And maybe that wasn't what this was. Not a love story, but definitely a story. We had something, some type of connection. I wasn't blind or delusional. I wasn't the crazy stalker who believed Harley cared when he didn't. I knew better. There was something there. What exactly, I wasn't sure, but there was something. Harley wouldn't have saved me otherwise. He wouldn't have kissed away my tears when I woke up from the bad dreams that awakened me in the middle of the night. He wouldn't have held me protectively as I snuggled closer to his warmth, never feeling safer in my entire life. Harley wouldn't have done any of those things if what we had was a simple contract. The contract was about fear, about pushing the boundaries of dark desires. It wasn't about kisses, cuddles, and tender touches. Yes, there was more. So much more. I was in Harley's house and by his side because I chose to be, and he wanted it. He was protecting me, and I liked it. I liked it far more than I'd ever thought possible. I didn't need a man. I never did. But I did need Harley. I did, and I wasn't ashamed to admit it. My emotions and feelings were rushing in fast. They were building to more than just the lust I had for him at Spiked Roses. I didn't love easily. I was not one to fall head over heels, but maybe life and death changed a person. Maybe I didn't need to have my shield up anymore, not when I had a warrior of Harley's strength by my side. Hopping out of bed, I felt so much better than I had when Harley first rescued me and brought me home. I hadn't had any nightmares that I could remember last night. Harley's arms wrapped around me had made sure of that. He was able to shield me even in sleep. Nothing could harm me again now that I was his to watch over. I knew it. I felt it deep in my gut. That feeling alone made the awful kidnapping and murder of Layla seem to lessen, and with time, I knew I wouldn't allow it to consume my thoughts. It was a nightmare that was over, at least for me. Not poor Layla, however. Harley didn't want to talk about Layla, I could tell. I saw the pain in his eyes, and the way he changed the direction of the conversation every time I tried to bring her up. He wasn't ready, but neither was I. I wasn't strong enough to be his pillar during what had to be an awful time for him. He had lost a friend in the most horrendous and gruesome of ways. "Hey, what are you doing up so early?" Harley asked as he exited the bathroom wearing nothing but a towel wrapped around his lower half. His wet hair hung limply on his forehead and around his ears, and I instantly wanted him back in the bed with me. "I was going to go and pick up some breakfast and bring it back to us before you woke." The idea of Harley leaving me again for breakfast made my stomach flip. Memories of the morning he had left to go get beignets came washing in like a tidal wave. A shiver ran down my spine, and my hands trembled at my sides. Walking over to me in long strides, Harley took me into his arms and kissed the top of my head. "Never again. I told you. You will never feel like your life is in danger again. I swear this to you." I nodded against his chest, inhaling the scent of soap and aftershave. "I know." I pulled away and looked up at him. "Do you have anything in your kitchen? I could make us something. Eggs? Toast?" I really didn't want him to leave. He chuckled. "Do you really think I would?" Smiling, I said, "I guess not, but why don't you give me a little bit to get showered and dressed and we can go into town together to eat? I have to check in with Spiked Roses anyway. Tennessee is a stickler when it comes to reporting to duty after a tasting. It's his way of making sure we are all safe and in one piece, both mentally and physically." An eyebrow rose, and a smirk on Harley's delicious lips had me nearly swooning. "You do realize I'm an owner, right? I think I have some pull over Mr. Tennessee Charles." I pulled away and started walking toward my bag to bring with me into the bathroom. "That's what you think. Have you met Tennessee? That man will string me up by my toenails if I don't follow his house rules. Sleeping with the owner won't get me off the hook. That man will have no mercy, and I rather like my toes." I walked toward the bathroom and stopped to look over my shoulder. 20 minutes, and I will be ready to go. Promise, I won't take long." 15, or I'm coming in after you." "I may like that," I said playfully with a wink. Sauntering over with that impish smirk that I had grown to absolutely love, he took me by the arm, lifted the shirt of his I wore to sleep in, and swatted my ass hard. "Hurry up, or I'm going to fuck that tight little ass of yours until you scream out my name." I moaned and wiggled my ass. "Yes, please." He swatted me again, even harder, and then again. Marlowe, we need food, and a tropical storm is supposed to hit today, so we need to not be out and about during it. If I have to come get you... All right, I said with a pout. I'm going. My stomach growling had me rushing through my shower more than the threat of Harley coming in to get me. Luckily, it didn't take me long to get ready. Pulling my hair up in a ponytail and throwing on a black tank top and jeans, I was ready to start the day. I felt refreshed and so much better than I had after the nightmare from Saturday. Everything bad seemed to ease with every passing moment. Not caring that my hair was still damp, I walked out of the bathroom. Done. I bet that was less than 15 minutes, I called out playfully. Looking around, I could see that Harley wasn't in the room to see my momentous victory of time management. Playfully, half-skipping barefoot to the living room, I was ready to boast the minute I saw him. But he wasn't in there either. Or the kitchen. Harley? I called out. Silence. My heart thumped hard against my sternum as an old wound opened. Where was he? Harley? I called again with a shaky voice as I returned to the living room. Oh my God, what if those men had come back? What if others did? What if word had hit the streets where Harley lived and everyone wanted a piece of him? Panic attacked as I scanned the living room for something to use as a weapon. A large crash from the window facing the pool had me screaming out. Getting ready to flee, thinking someone was trying to break in through the window, I saw that it was just a broken limb banging against the glass. The storm was blowing in already, and the large gusts of wind outside had the patio furniture blowing around wildly as well. Looking down, I could see that one chair had even fallen into the pool. I took a deep breath to settle my nerves. Harley was probably just outside trying to tie things down before the storm damaged everything. Deciding to go out and help him, I walked toward the sliding glass door and froze in my spot. Attempting to pull the chair out of the pool was a ghost, walking dead. Layla. 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 As if I was walking underwater, I somehow walked out of the house and down the stairs to where she struggled with the piece of furniture. The wind whipped around us, and the howling only matched the ringing in my ears. Was I actually seeing her standing before me? This had to be a mistake. There was no way. I had to be seeing things. Maybe I wasn't healing and doing as well as I had thought. Maybe I was snapping. This was the beginning of a nervous breakdown. Layla? I called out against the wind, expecting the vision to disappear the minute I spoke out to her. She spun around and dropped the chair that she nearly had fished out of the pool back into the water. Her eyes were wide and mouth opened even wider. It was her. It was her. I don't understand, I said, shaking my head. You were dead. You were dead. I saw you. Her eyes went from staring at me to staring over my shoulder. Large hands were placed on my shoulder from behind, and I turned my head to see Harley standing there with sadness in his eyes. I'm sorry, Layla said. I thought you guys were done yesterday. I came back last night. I wouldn't have if I had known. Harley raised his hand to silence her. It's all right. What do you mean, it's all right? What the hell is going on? I screamed. I thought she was dead. I spun around to face him. Why didn't you tell me she survived? I looked back at Layla and examined her body. She didn't look like she had been harmed at all. There had been so much blood. She should have not been standing there without a mark on her with all that blood. There were no gashes, no scrapes, nothing. She swallowed hard and couldn't make eye contact with me. I'm sorry. It was wrong.
You only did what I asked, Harley said.
Layla glanced up at me. I'm sorry I scared you. If I could take it all back.
Harley started pulling me toward the house. It's okay, Layla. I got this. Go inside before the